Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY24 earnings conference call of Home First Finance Company India Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Kayal from Home First Finance. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Yashashree. Good evening, everyone. I extend a very warm welcome to all the participants on our Q2 FY24 conference call. I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through our investor deck and press release uploaded on stock exchanges and on our website yesterday. We have also uploaded the Excel fact sheet on our website. On today's call, Home First is represented by our MD and CEO, Mr. Manoj Viswanathan, and CFO, Ms. Nutan Gaba Patwari. We will start this call with an opening remark by Manoj and Nutan, and then we will have a Q&A session. With this introduction, I hand over the call to Manoj. Over to you, Manoj.
Thank you, Manish. Good evening, everyone. I'm pleased to share with you the highlights of our Quarter 2 FY24 performance. Quarter 2 performance has been strong across all operating and financial parameters. We have delivered an ROE of 15.6% in an inflationary and peak interest rate environment. This level of consistent and superior returns is a testimony to our strong risk management, use of right technology, and scalability of our model. We continue to build distribution by simultaneously entering new markets and deepening our presence in existing markets. We added 7 branches in Q2, and now we have 120 physical branches. Including potential and digital branches, we now do business across 295 touchpoints across Tier 1 to Tier 3 markets in 13 states. Disbursement in Quarter 2 at 959 crores was higher than Quarter 1, with a growth of 36.6% on a year-on-year basis and 7.1% on a quarter-on-quarter basis, leading to an AUM growth of 33.3% on a YOY basis to rupees 8,365 crores. Spreads at 5.5% remain ahead of our guided levels of 5.25%. Our asset quality continues to be strong, with a focus on early delinquencies. 1+ DPD is at 4.5%, 30+ DPD is flat at 2.9% in Quarter 2, and with a decline of 40 basis points on a year-on-year basis. The gross Stage 3 GNPA is at 1.7%, which is a 20 basis points decline compared to the same quarter last year. Prior to RBI classification, this figure stands at 1.1%. Our credit cost is at 40 basis points for the quarter. We will now move on to some more details of the business and our outlook for the current year. Talking about technology, technology has been at the center of our business since inception. Systemic tech-led controls have been implemented across all our operations, providing a strong backbone for our risk management and internal audit processes. Digital adoption continues to be strong and a key area of our focus as we grow. Some of our recent initiatives on technology include successful adoption of the account aggregator model to access bank statements of customers. This has now gone mainstream, with a 30% penetration rate within two quarters of implementation. An employee KRA module has been developed with full integration with our loan and collection system to make goal setting and tracking process more effective. Tableau visualization has been brought within Salesforce to help drive superior analytical outcomes. Property Insight version 2 has been launched to digitally validate the property titles and have an independent authentication of our primary security for the loan. On distribution, we added 7 branches and 13 touchpoints in Q2. We now have 120 physical branches and 295 touchpoints. We are targeting an AUM growth of 30% plus for FY24 to enable us to cross the 10,000 crore AUM mark in the next 12 months. Coming to people, we are pleased to report that we have added 137 employees in Quarter 2 to reach a total strength of 1,242 employees, and we plan to add another 100 to 150 by March 24. We have expanded our ESOP coverage to encompass 335 employees, which is 27% of our total employee base. Employee attrition is down from FY23 levels as a result of initiatives implemented by us to reduce attrition, supported by hiring lull in certain sectors. Demand continues to be strong in the affordable housing sector. With our expanded distribution and employee base, we are well placed to gain market share and deliver strong numbers in the rest of this financial year. With respect to quarterly results, there are a few metrics that we would like to address. One is balance transfers, which have increased during the quarter. It is a result of a series of interest rate hikes that our customers have witnessed in the past 18 months. We have sensitized our teams on customer retention and coached them on techniques to arrest balance transfers. On the bounce rate, there is an uptick in October. We still see that a substantial portion of these bounce customers pay within 3 days of bouncing the installments. Bounce rate normalization to pre-COVID levels will take time, and we are working towards improving this behavior change that has happened during COVID. The NPCI data also validates our view where the bounce volume has increased. Our overall collection efficiency remains strong, and we continue to focus on containing early delinquencies as a collection strategy. With this, I would now like to hand over the call to Nutan to take you through the financials. Nutan, over to you.
Thank you. Good evening, all. I would like to start by mentioning that we've delivered our medium-term industry-leading ROE goal of 15 to 16% way ahead of our expectations. Our superior performance in a tough environment gives us the confidence that we can outperform these returns in the next 2 to 3 years. Moving to financial performance, our Q2 NIM is robust at 6%, is in line with our guidance. We mentioned in our Q1 call that about the stable yields and increase in Q2 in COP, which has led to 10 basis points decline in NIMs for Q2. Net interest income has gone up by 27.6% in Q2 on a YOY basis. Spread at 5.5% remains well above our guidance range of 5 to 5.25%. OPEX to assets is at 2.9% for the quarter. We expect this ratio to remain in the range of 3 to 3.2% going ahead as we focus on expansion. Cost to income at 35.2% is Q2, is a decline of 110 basis points on a QOQ basis. Credit cost remains at 40 basis points and is within a guide range of 30 to 50 basis points. Our balance sheet is stronger than before. Starting with borrowings, the company continues to have a diversified and cost-effective long-term financing sources. This diversified based across banks as well as NHB. Our borrowing mix is 55% from banks, private sector is 33% and public sector is 21%. NHB refinance share is stable at 22%. We have drawn 250 crores in Q2 FY24. We have another 450 crores to draw, which we will calibrate as per requirements. 16% is from direct assignment and 2% from co-lending. 4% is from IFC NCD. We continue to have zero borrowings through commercial paper. Our cost of borrowing is competitive at 8.1%, increase of 10 basis points from 8% of quarter one. We further expect 20 basis points in the second half of the year. Coming to capital, capital adequacy is at 45.5% and tier 1 is at 45%. Our debt to equity is now 3.1 times. Our September net worth stands at 1947 crores. Our book value per share is 221. Moving to provision, we have remained conservative and continue to carry provision overlay over and above the ECL requirements. Total provision coverage ratio stands at 52.3%. Prior to NPA reclassification, as per RBI circular, provision coverage ratio stands at 84.6%. On specific transactions, we did DA of 97 crores during the quarter as a liquidity strategy. We continue to have a robust demand for our portfolio of assets, and this number is well within our guided range of 100 crores plus minus 20 crores. We also executed co-lending transaction of 50 crores in Q2. Co-lending business is growing and expect this to contribute around 10% of disbursement in the near future. With this, I open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening everyone, and congratulations Manoj and Nitin on a good quarter. First thing, I mean, there are a couple of things on the opening remarks that Manoj made. Manoj, I just wanted to understand first thing, I mean, you did touch upon BT outs being higher during the quarter and the fact that you have sensitized your team on customer retention. But, I mean, incrementally, what we are seeing is the competitive intensity is very, very high. And are these balance transfers typically happening to banks? If yes, they're happening to PSU banks or private banks, is there any particular bank which is overly aggressive and leading to such high competitive intensity? That is my first question.
The you know, the players are the same that we have seen in the past. I don't think there is any change in the mix of players. Of course, some NBFCs are also doing balance transfers now at low rates, which probably is not sustainable. That might be more a tactical move, in a particular quarter. We see the balance transfers more as a reaction to the rate hikes that have happened over the last year. So three consecutive rate hikes. A lot of customers have gone through a 125 basis points rate hike. Their tenures also, when the loan was originated, the tenure was 20 years, but now suddenly their tenures look very extended, probably 25 to 30 years. So this is provoking the balance transfers. We think it should moderate, with the passage of time.
Got it. And the second thing I think you touched upon was employee attrition, which is down from March levels. I mean, another HFC which had its earning call just before you was kind of hinting at, significantly higher employee attrition, especially at the sales force or, for that matter, the relationship officer level. How is it like for us? I mean, in the past, we used to talk about that in industry level, attrition remains very high. I mean, has it gotten better for us? Are we seeing more stability in our frontline staff now?
Yes, see, first quarter was also low. See, last year we had kind of elevated attrition levels, and we were talking about it that it has reached about 40% levels. But in the first quarter of this year, it was lower than 30%. This quarter also, it has been around the 30-ish level, 32 or so. So it definitely for us, the attrition has come off. It is visible to us. We had taken some steps, as we had mentioned that, we had expanded our ESOP program. We had started, a different onboarding program for our front-end employees. So we had done a number of initiatives. However, we have also, I think, this year we are also getting support from hiring lull in certain segments and certain sectors of the industry. I think a combination of these factors has led to a lower attrition for us in this year.
Got it. And just one last question. If I could look at your region today, looking at the run rate, right? I mean, probably early next financial year is where we'll probably look to hit the milestone of 10,000 crores in AUM. I think from a business model perspective, we've been unique in terms of the connector model that we have, as well as the fact that our sales and collections, both the hats are donned by our relationship officer. So over the course of time, over the last few years, we've grown this business model. But just wanted to understand, even at that size and scale, our conviction remains put, right, that this business model is something which will help us scale further beyond 10,000 crores towards 15 and 20,000 crores.
Yes, of course. We are feeling very confident now. We are seeing a strong demand wherever we go, we are confident of expanding and deepening our distribution in some of our focus states. In some of the other states where we had a thin presence, we are looking at expanding distribution more in the central and northern states. So distribution expansion itself should allow us to get from the 10 to 20,000 crore level. We are feeling very confident, and the model, as far as the connector model is concerned, there is still a lot to be done. We currently have probably about 2,500-2,600 active connectors in a quarter, and that number can go up multifold, as we expand our distribution. So we are confident of the model and confident of the model helping us to achieve those numbers.
This is useful. Thank you so much. I want to wish you and the team the very best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Renish Bhua from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Manoj and team. So again, circling back to BT out rate, So despite the higher BT out rate, our growth has been, quite steady at around 8% sequentially. So once we, sometimes for restrict the BT out, as you highlighted that we have initiated several steps. So what kind of AUM growth we target in near term?
Renish, we are looking at a 30% growth rate. I think that's the growth that we have been talking about last couple of years and which we have been delivering. And it's a number that is more arrived at through a ground-up calculation of, how much we will be able to, how many distribution points we will be able to add, how many people we need to hire, etc. So it's a ground-up calculation. So our growth projection remains the same at 30% plus.
Got it. And again, on the, just to understand, bit more on the BT outs. So most of these BT out is due to, the rates. I mean, there is no other thing which can sort of restrict or, result in a higher BT. When you say that we have taken initiative, could you highlight what kind of initiative we have taken to restrict these BT outs? I mean, apart from rates, if we sort of get into the rate war, then would you assume any margin compression going ahead?
Yeah, so across the board reduction of rate is not really would not be really useful to address this BT out, because then our yields also will get reduced. So that is really not what we are aiming to do. What we have done is we have kind of sensitized our teams on the ground on how to address the BT out. Because there is a certain point at which the customer approaches us, at an initial. So we are, the BT, the person who is doing a balance transfer needs to be approached or counseled at an early stage. When the person is coming with the BT check or with the, transfer from the other bank, at that point it will be difficult to stop the person. So we have run some coaching camps for our teams to, help them understand how to, how to address the BT outs. Plus we have also circulated, tagged the cases which are have a high likelihood of BT out, so that they can give special attention to those cases. What we feel after having talked to our teams, etc., and traveling across the country is it's more of a, you can say awareness and sensitization issue. If we are able to pay more attention to customers who are at an initial stage of exploring a balance transfer, we will be able to reduce the numbers.
Got it. Try to assume that October monthly BT out will be lower than last quarter average?
Yeah, can't say for sure. Yes, hopefully yes.
Okay, got it. And lastly, on the, also a major increase in the stage 3 asset, is there any specific trend which is emerging, or this is just a transitory in nature?
Delinquency, no?
Yeah, 90 DPD.
Yeah.
No, this is, first half of the year, generally there is a little bit. See, because March, the March figures are extraordinarily good, generally. So after that, any figure looks worse than March. So which is really what we saw this year also. So the level of collection efficiency that we managed to achieve in March was not repeated over the last 6 months. So that kind of performance again comes in the second half of the year. So it's more a seasonal movement. Nothing else to it. Because if you see the 30 DPD figures, they are flat compared to last quarter. So nothing really to be read into the figures.
Got it. And just last question from my side on the ROE. We have been able to achieve this mid-teen ROE maybe ahead than our earlier plans. And now we are exploring 10% of co-lending on the disbursement side. So what's the next level of ROE we are targeting? And the co-lending piece, would it add anything to our earlier assumption on the ROE front?
So Ganesh, if you see in the last 6 months, we've been able to expand the ROE by almost 200 basis points. It will be a little bit of a stability here for some time, and the co-lending business will require a little bit more time to grow, plus in the right interest rate environment. In a good interest rate environment, these prism co-lending can be good. Give us some time and hopefully we should outperform these numbers as well.
Got it, got it. So the near-term target would be to sustain this mid-teens ROE?
Yes, 15%-16% range is what we will sustain in the near term.
Got it, got it. That's it from my side. Thank you, and best of luck to Dhananjay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Nidhesh Jain from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, on the growth, so this year, you have guided for 30% growth. How should we think about growth for subsequent year, FY 2025, and how are we preparing for that? Any guidance on branch addition, et cetera?
So Nidhesh, your growth of 30%, we are looking at for the next 2 to 3 years, because our planning generally is in what do you call it? Installments of 2 to 3 years. So 2.5 years ago, we said we will be able to grow at 30% for the next 3 years. So as per our current plans and what we are seeing on the ground, next 2 to 3 years, we should be able to grow at a 30% kind of a level.
What would be the branch addition plans for that?
Branch addition, broadly, we are thinking about 20-30 branches in a year, is the number that we are looking at. But the addition or the distribution will be, you know, more on the number of locations we are adding, the number of relationship managers, number of connectors, et cetera. So those will get added, and that will contribute to the business. So 295 touch points is where we are today. We should be adding another 100, 150 touch points in the next 2 years, and a corresponding number of RMs. So we are at about 1,200, 1,200 employees as of now. So that number should probably go up to about 1,600-1,700 employees in the next 2 years. So that's what we are looking at.
Sure. Secondly, last 2 years, we have expanded in Tier 3 locations as well. In the past, we were operating largely in Tier 1, Tier 2 locations. So how is the experience in terms of asset quality, bounce rate, in Tier 3 geographies?
Asset quality, bounce rate, et cetera, largely very similar to our existing portfolios. So location-wise, we don't see any major differences. I mean, and we don't, so when we go to Tier 2, Tier 3 locations, I mean, these are generally not very remote locations. I mean, they would be within kind of a driving distance from a branch. So in that sense, they would be periphery of urban areas, not really remote Tier 3 locations.
Sure, sure. And lastly, on the BT out, are there any trends that, are we monitoring connector-wise the BT out, and are we seeing any trend there, any connector which is inducing this BT out?
There would be sporadic instances of, you know, connectors referring our customers, et cetera. But those get addressed very quickly, you know, by kind of blocking those connectors or penalizing those connectors. The trend is more towards, you know, larger cities, you know, larger branches where there are more BT outs because of more intense competitive activity.
Sure. Thank you. That's it from my end.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Shreepal Doshi from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir, and hello, ma'am. Vishnu, thank you for giving me the opportunity. So my question was pertaining to the NHB sanction pipeline that we have, which we can draw during the second half that.
Mr. Doshi, your voice is cracking, sir.
Yeah. Am I okay now?
No, it is not clear.
Am I better now?
Yes.
Hello.
You can go ahead.
So, ma'am, my question pertaining to the NHB we have, how much can we draw down in the second half of the year during FY 2024?
We have an unavailed sanction line of 450 crores, which we can utilize between now and June 2024. So we will plan based on the business need and how we need to utilize it.
Got it, got it. And then, in respect to the share of like customers, who've seen their sharing of ownership.
Shripal, your voice is not clear.
Am I audible now?
Yeah.
So just wanted some comments or color on where do we see the share of salaried customers stabilizing in the overall loan book?
Share of salaried customers, I mean, there is, see, we are not structurally changing or changing any direction on that. But I think as we penetrate deeper into markets, etc., there will be probably, you know, more self-employed customers could come on board. I would say right now we are at about 70-30. You know, I would put it maybe in the medium term, maybe at 60-40, if at all. There is no such strong trend, but, you know, if you're asking for a number, it could be 60 salaried, 40 self-employed.
Perfect. And since you highlighted that we are focusing on little deeper geographies as well, but...
Okay. Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Subhranshu Mishra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Question: the first one is on the regulations and the collateral and the documents that need to be given back to the customer in a time that's been stipulated. How does that change our OPEX? That's first. Second is, why are we not looking at, or why are we not making any kind of representations to the rating agencies for the rating upgrade despite having a strong asset quality number? Third is, if we can talk on the cost of acquisition for our home loan customers across markets and across connectors. These are my three questions. Thanks.
Sure. On the documentation, see, we already have a practice of returning the documents within 30 days to customers. So, it does not really change anything for us. So, we have a fairly strong strong monitoring on that. As far as the rating is concerned, yes, at the suitable time, the rating will get updated, and we are in continuous discussions with rating agencies. So, at a point when they find it, you know, find it appropriate, the rating should get upgraded. On the cost of acquisition, there is not much differential across markets. It is it anyway follows flows in a tight range. So the acquisition cost is generally 30 to 50 basis points for the connectors. So it's agnostic to markets. It's broadly based on size and nature of the connector, etc. So it's a very narrow range of 30 to 50 basis points across the board.
Sure. And if I can just squeeze in two more questions. The first one is, if you can decompose the 30% growth guidance that you're giving, how much would come from the ticket size increase, how much would come from productivity increase, and how much would come from volume increase? That's the first. Second is, we're talking about BT out. However, given the ticket sizes that we deal with, and across lenders, the affordable housing comes at a higher yield. And the fee is barely anything in it for someone to really churn a customer, for a connector to churn a customer. So why should we have BT out in the first place?
Yeah, so addressing the first question, which is the growth. See, most of the growth will come from distribution expansion. We have not really factored in growth on account of ticket size or productivity. You know, those should come as an addition. So broadly, we are targeting distribution expansion for the growth. Coming to BT outs, see, BT out is largely you know, customer initiated, because which is why the BT out has kind of spiked now, because you know, this has come on the back of three consecutive pricing increases for the customer. So as customers are getting more irritated, you know, with the extension of their tenures and increase in rates, they initiate the balance transfers more from their side. So, which is why I said connected initiated balance transfers are not many. I mean, there could be sporadic here and there, but not really a major cause. The major cause is the customer is customer initiated only. And when the customer sees a differential of, you know, maybe 4%, you know, on the loan, where they feel that they can get at least a 3 to 4% reduction, then they try very hard and pursue a balance transfer. So largely, they end up being customer initiated.
Thank you. This was very helpful. Best of luck.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Omkar Kamtekar from Bonanza Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question. So first question is with respect to, are we seeing, can we have a bifurcation to understand, is there a specific bucket size of a specific ticket size seeing more growth? So say, for example, is the 2 million to 2.5 million having a higher, you know, disbursals than a 1 million, 1.5 million? Is there, can we see some change in there? Are we seeing some trends there?
Tickets, growth is largely coming from, I would say 10 lakh plus. And maybe less than 5 lakhs is not really an area of growth. So, there is moderate growth in 5 to 10 lakhs and largely the growth is from 10 lakhs plus.
Okay. And with respect to the cost of borrowing, so our current cost of borrowings for H1 is standing at 8.1. The incremental cost of borrowings, what would be that if we can have some color on that?
Incremental cost of borrowing for the last two quarters is in the range of 860 to 870. We also actually published that on our slide number 27. This 860, 870 range does not include the NHB borrowing. If you were to include that, the cost of borrowing is around 8.1.
Okay. Correct. So also that would be what would also go ahead for maybe for two, three quarters or more. 8.7 is what you
have. Assuming no change in the policy rates, yes.
Okay. And with respect to branch addition, I think you had mentioned, but I did not catch it. What is the number of branch additions that we are looking at and geographical expansion also if you could add?
Branch additions, we are looking at 20 to 30 branches a year. And geographies, our focus markets are west and south. So we have Maharashtra, Gujarat, Tamil Nadu, Andhra, Telangana, Karnataka. Branch additions currently are happening in these markets. But we are also beginning to expand in the northern market. So MP, Rajasthan, UP are also at, we are kind of gaining traction there. So in future, you will also see some branch additions coming from those markets. You can say maybe like a, say 70-30 split. 70% will come from our focus markets, west and south, and 30% would come from the northern markets.
Okay. Is the southern market seeing more growth than any of the other markets? Because generally we have dichotomy because of the south being the slightly more prosperous and high income earning states. So is there something of a trend going on that we might see more concentrated growth in the southern states? Would that be fair?
See, in southern states, growth is more stronger in higher ticket sizes because of the reason that you mentioned, which is incomes are going up, etc., and states becoming more urbanized and industrialized. But northern markets are also, they are growing in the core affordable segment, which is, 5 to 15 lakh segment. So growth in different forms is coming from both areas.
Okay. And final, just a macro update on the specific low ticket size affordable housing segment. What is your view with respect to the two or 3 year horizon? Are we seeing systemic problems in the space?
Not at all. So see, there are large different states are at different income levels. If you look at the per capita incomes, so if you see, for example, an MP or Rajasthan, UP, they are at a certain level. Which is probably, if you look at the average for the entire country, it's 2,000, let's say on a PPP basis, it's about $7,000. So these states are at about $4,000 to $5,000 PPP level of per capita income. Whereas the southern states are closer to 10,000. So the growth is coming in different forms. So in these northern states, we get growth in the core affordable segment. So ticket sizes between 5 to 15 lakhs, is growing fast. In the southern states, at higher ticket sizes, 10 to 20 lakhs is growing fast. So in different forms, you're getting growth from both the sectors. So we don't see a problem at all. We are actually seeing a very, very strong growth at the ground level. I think it's only, our own capacity to grow, our own capacity to hire, train, etc., which is a limiting factor. Supply of housing or, demand is really not a limiting factor at all.
Okay. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks, and congratulations, Manoj and Mr. Daba. So my question is now, we are looking of a 50% CAGR growth for next 2 years, which means that.
Mr. Sheth, I'm sorry, you're not clearly audible. There's a lot of disturbance on your line.
Is that clear now?
Better. Please go ahead.
So Manoj, when we are talking of 30% CAGR growth, so we expect to more than double our size of the portfolio, see AUM from March 2023 level. And when we are seeing that we are also expanding distribution where the ticket size is little low, and there we have to also develop a new connector. So, and our own capacities, which you just highlighted. So how do one really see that will happen?
So, see this, I mean, our distribution strategy is, I mean, what we have planned for the next 2 to 3 years is as follows. So one part of it is deepening our distribution in our existing states. So where, which were states which were already urbanized, industrialized, where we had a decent presence. So there we are deepening our presence penetration. So in Gujarat, Maharashtra, Tamil Nadu, et cetera, where we were already present to some extent, we are deepening our penetration there. And I think 3 years back, we said that we are going to focus on these states. And we said that we will keep the expansion in the northern states for a little later. So we are starting that expansion now. We feel that this is the right time to start expansion in the northern states. So MP, Rajasthan, UP, et cetera, which are at a kind of a threshold level today, and where we see that in the next 5 years, the demand for affordable housing will be really good. So we are, setting our footprint there, establishing certain locations, so that we are well prepared to serve the customers over the next 5 years. So that is, really how we are looking at our distribution plan.
And second, also you said that our own capacity to increase, because when we are doubling the, more than doubling the our asset AUM, but in that kind of, this kind of a number of addition of the branch or is that, or addition of the people will be that sufficient?
Yes, sir. So, no, which is why we said we are looking at a 30% growth. I mean, if we are able to move faster and, because we also have a limitation of number of people, branches, etc., that we can add. If we are currently at about 1,200 employees, so we may be able to add maybe another, 400-500 employees in the next 2 years, not more than that. So that is what I mentioned as a limiting factor. If somebody can move faster than that, then the market is not the limiting factor, is what I basically meant. I mean, there is enough demand in the market.
Okay, and last question, you said that demand for affordability will continue to grow over next 4-5 years. So what is the underlying assumption that are we taking, I mean, that this market will grow? Because in past we have seen there is a lot of ups and downs. So with that background, so if you can give a little more color.
So affordable housing is a direct, you can say, a function of incomes, the income of the, I mean, in, income in that particular state. So we are seeing that correlation quite strongly. So states which where the incomes have risen, for example, Gujarat, Tamil Nadu, etc., the affordable housing demand is really high. So today, for example, a state like Gujarat accounts for about 25,000 crores of affordable housing every year, which is actually, probably higher than the affordable housing demand in a state like UP, which is 4 times the population of Gujarat. So, we have seen that affordable housing demand is a function of incomes, per capita incomes, which is why, in states like UP, Rajasthan, MP, etc., we feel that as the incomes start rising in the next few years, the demand should reach the same level as the other states, Gujarat, Tamil Nadu, etc. So which is why, we are projecting that this demand will continue to be available, continue to grow over the next 5 years.
But do we think that in that case, competitive scenario may further increase because everyone were looking of this kind of a market, but they were not actively going on. And now the kind of a business transfer that also we are seeing.
The competitive intensity has been there, and I think it will continue to be there. But it's also, a business that has a lot of complexity. So, somebody who has been in the business for a while, who understands that complexity and who is able to execute well on the ground, are the ones who will succeed. I think competition will continue to exist. We have to find ways of addressing that.
Okay. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we move on to the next question, we would like to remind the participants to press star and one to ask a question. We'll take our next question from the line of Chandrasekhar Sridhar from Fidelity International. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Nutan, I had a couple of questions for you. One is, you know, from the start of the rate cycle, our borrowing costs are up 90 to 100 basis points. Just curious to understand that the marginal cost of borrowing basically for the last couple of quarters, except of NHB, basically is not really changed. Just curious to understand whether we've had the entire cost of fund, you know, the rate cycle sort of showing up in our books right now because the marginal number has not changed. So it seems, you know, the rate cycle is still, the rate cycle is being much, the increase in rate is being much higher, but it's not showing up in, you know, in the book.
So Chandra, you're right. The transmission is largely done, but there is some residual transmission that's still to come in. And that is why, you know, we've been saying that this 810 could look more like 830 by March. So let's say another 10 basis point increase in the next two quarters. And let's say if there is no further rate changes, then that should be where we should be for a while.
Understood. Okay. So does that mean, I mean, the 525, which you've always said, you know, just in terms of spread, that's still pretty much what you're working with because, you know, spread is still holding up reasonably well?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Okay. And then, you know, on the yield side, we've taken a cumulatively 125 basis hike starting, you know, from July last year. But, you know, the on-book yields are up since then only up, you know, 60 basis. So is it fair to assume, so one, I would presume onboarding yields must be lower for customers, and also is it fair to assume that some of this, because this is slightly higher balance transfers that, you know, you've sort of given some discount in yields to some customers, is that the way to think of it? Or are you basically, given that, you know, our cost itself hasn't risen as much, that has been, you know, far more okay, you know, just on passing on yields entirely, I mean, for some customers?
So Chandra, actually, customers have been repriced 125 basis points. However, what also happens is as and when we get the NHB AHF fund, we reprice the customers downwards. And that reflects in the yield line. So you will see that while the spread is protected, the yield shows the optical reduction. That is largely because of this NHB AHF fund. And last two or three quarters, we've been doing quite a bit of it also. On the origination yield, it has stayed around 1350, 1360 almost since the increase of the policy rates. So that has not changed. And that is the second part. The third part is, you know, our co-lending portfolio is at a slightly lower rate. So that is any which way, it gets excluded from the origination yield, but not from this particular line. But that is sitting at a lower yield. So that also pulls down the rates here.
Understood. Okay. Fair point. And then just maybe just lastly, seems that, you know, over a period of time, the LTE on origination, you know, is changing a little marginally. I mean, don't want to read too much into it, but with the LTE and origination actually at less than 50% actually goes up and more than 80% is actually going down. Is there a change in just the apartment types or anything else, or you know, you just want to highlight?
Very marginal change, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's 300. I mean, just wondering whether it's part of some trend which you know, as a policy, which...
No, I think according to three in coming years is more self-construction and resale, taking a larger share. So the, you know, higher LTV, you know, at origination should keep decreasing going forward. Because the higher LTV at origination is largely only in apartment segment, because, you know, that's a builder-driven market. And where the industry practice is to give a higher LTVs. But going forward, you know, as we expand into expand into the other states where the self-construction is the larger business, self-construction and resale, they both come at lower LTVs. So the LTV at origination should keep declining going forward.
Sure. Manoj, just the last question for you. Just the thought process behind you know, the share of, you know, you did make comment on the share of self-employed potentially going up over a period of time. If it's just a function of distribution as you do getting the more into the UP sort of strategy, is that just natural or is it a conscious strategy to do a little more self-employed?
No, no, not at all. I mean, we never had a conscious strategy to exclude self-employed, actually, even from the beginning. I mean, it is just a natural flow of loans to us. That is, I mean, it's the ratio has got formed over a period of time. Partly because, you know, we started out with larger cities, so where there are more employment opportunities, so more salaried customers were there. Plus, you know, we are also more, I mean, our processes are quicker, so salaried customers find it, you know, easy to deal with us. So some of those factors have contributed to a slightly higher share of salaried customers. But otherwise, in the market, we don't have an articulated strategy of, you know, going only after salaried customers or excluding a self-employed. So that has never been there. Now, as we are going deeper in the market, we are going into markets where, you know, there are more self-employed customers. I mean, lesser of organized salaried customers. So I'm just kind of, you know, giving up long-term projection that this could move to a 60-40 kind of a figure.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Aravind R. from Sundaram Alternates. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. This might have been answered, but I joined the call a little late. Sir, like, the higher ticket size book is growing faster than the, like, if I take 15 to 20 lakhs or 20 to above 20 lakhs kind of a, you know, ticket size loans are growing faster. Like, is it a conscious strategy? Like, are the profile of customers slightly different when it comes to the higher ticket size loans?
No, so as I mentioned, you know, it's more a function of, you know, where we are expanding distribution, etc. I think last 3 years our articulated strategy was that we will expand in west and south. And as we expanded more in south, you know, the ticket sizes are slightly higher. So the, like I said, you know, we are getting more loans in the 10 to 20 lakh ticket size range there. But you know, as we now, you know, build our distribution in the northern part of the country, that should again get moderated. So we are not really going after you know, higher ticket size as such. It's just the same segment where the ticket sizes in south are slightly higher because, you know, of higher income, etc. And some part of it is also, you know, contributed by co-lending, because now we have a fairly large, I mean, 200-250 crore co-lending book where the ticket size is naturally high. So as a result of which also the ticket sizes are showing up higher.
Am I correct in understanding that the yields should not move up that much or going forward, like considering if there is no other rate hikes or
Yes. If there are no further rate hikes, we will not increase the rates for our customers. Broadly, we should be in the same ballpark origination.
The cost of funds, sir?
Cost of funds, we are anticipating maybe a 10 to 20 basis points increase, but that's something that we will absorb. We are not looking at passing on such a small increase to customers at this stage.
Okay. Even though marginal cost of borrowings is coming down, like it's still going up, is it because of the repricing?
Yeah, the repricing by the banks to us, you mean, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there are some lines which are still left to be repriced, so as they get repriced, it will go up, yes.
And just one more question, like, so in the new markets, like, we are entering into this new market, so does it affect the operating efficiency, like OPEX to AUM or OPEX to assets?
No, not really, because we are, that is something that we are conscious of. So we don't go into really remote markets where, you know, which don't fit into our operating metrics. So we are very much cognizant of our, employee or RM productivity, the disbursal or the sales that an RM has to deliver every month. So we only go into markets where that can be delivered comfortably. Otherwise, we will not enter those markets.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Omkar Kamtekar from Bonanza Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. So my one of follow-up questions is,
as we keep continue to hold our 30% growth target, and we are also expanding our technological capabilities to a certain extent and capabilities, are we targeting some specific disbursement targets for the quarter or particular month? And do we have something in our mind that we would target this much disbursements per quarter, per month, anything like that?
Broadly the plan is made for the year, and that is kind of bifurcated into first half, second half, and we follow that plan. So if you see, we have our disbursement this quarter is about 7% higher than the previous quarter, so broadly we follow that kind of a framework through the quarters in the year.
Okay. So could you, would it be possible for you to, share what would be the range for FY25 if it is possible? Because FY24 half, we could extrapolate it.
The current year disbursal, the target would be around 4,000 crores. That is what we are targeting for this year. Next year, the target will be maybe 4,800 to 5,000 crores.
Okay, and what is the sanction to disbursement ratio? If you can share, is that data point available? Sanction to disbursement.
Normally, around 80% is the sanction to disbursement ratio. 80%.
Okay, and lastly, a question with respect to quality measures. So as we go deeper into the more tier 3, tier 4 cities, expand into these areas. So maybe the probability of us encountering people who are new to credit and as you said, the self-employed people. So there is also a higher probability of they having subpar asset quality. How will, what will be the measure that we tighten our credit policy so that we don't increase the NPAs? Will there be specific additional measures involved, or the current system would suffice?
So again, while we expand into these market, our basic principles are that the asset needs to be a formal asset which has got a title, which is a registered title. So we will never deviate from that. That is our basic principle. So from an asset perspective or property perspective, we will not deviate. We will maintain that. From a customer profile perspective, yes, in smaller markets, there would be more self-employed customers compared to salaried customers. Because there would be lesser organized employment opportunities. So that is the only variation that we will kind of entertain or accept. So as such, so far we have not seen any asset quality difference in smaller markets, and we don't anticipate, other than the difference between salaried and self-employed, we don't anticipate any asset quality difference in smaller markets.
Okay, so also we would also, as a consequence, we will also not require to tighten our measures to disburse loans to them. I think that understanding
is better. Our screens are more or less the same. There is no difference in screens between a smaller market or a larger market.
Okay. Thank you. That was helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Puneet Daga from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes.
Definitely.
Firstly, congratulations on the great set of numbers. Actually, I joined the call a little late, so I just wanted to ask one particular thing. Could you just state the reason, why we saw a decline in our yields by 10 basis points? Is it because of some pricing pressure which we are facing, in this segment?
No, 10 basis points, see, there will be some amount of variation month to month, quarter to quarter. Broadly, we are committed to maintaining a 13.5 kind of a yield on an overall basis.
So, we are envisaging that yield would go down going forward. Could you state, why is it so?
No. We mentioned that we have guided to spreads of about 525. So that is more from an anticipation of increase in cost of borrowing. We said, cost of borrowing could go up by another 10-20 basis points. So, which we have been saying for the last several quarters that we are planning to absorb that increase. So, which is why we have guided to spreads of 525. Otherwise, the yields are broadly going to be in the same level that we are talking about.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Sameer Bise from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats Manoj and team for the good set of numbers. Just wanted to get a sense on the co-lending piece. Can you comment a bit on the ticket size of the original origination and probably how does it vary in terms of what customers are selected across banks? Some sense there would be helpful.
Yeah, ticket size is generally, co-lending is allowed up to 35 lakhs, the ticket size. So generally the ticket size varies, falls between 20 to 35 lakhs. So broadly if you see the average, it's around 20 to 23 something, between 20 and 25 is the average ticket size for co-lending. From a profile, it is a little more formal customer segment. So customers who have, salary credit in the bank and, working for large organizations, etc. Broadly that's the profile of the customer, and so they would be purchasing properties which are priced between say 30 to 40 or 30 to 50 lakhs. So that's the profile. So this was the profile that generally earlier we would avoid because the pricing would not fit into our pricing norms. But now we can, actually address this segment through the co-lending program.
And is the portfolio quality meaningfully different from our core segment or it is in the similar ballpark?
See, as of now, this is a low vintage portfolio. I mean, it would have just, I think the oldest case would be probably just 1 year old. At least from our own evidence or our own experience, we will not be able to comment, but logically, yes, it should be a slightly better portfolio quality.
Fair enough. This is helpful. I'll probably have some more questions which I will follow up offline. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manoj Viswanathan for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you everyone for joining us on the call. I hope you have been able to answer all your queries. In case you require any further details, you may get in touch with Manish Kayal. Wish you a very happy Diwali. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Home First Finance Company India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.